This morning, we are going to be looking at Timothy. So you may have heard some of the story of Timothy in the Bible. The Apostle Paul writes a couple of letters addressed to Timothy. So we're going to focus in on a specific passage. But just before we get into the scripture, just think about this. In your life, your experiences, the things that you've walked through, has someone discounted you because you were too young, too old, didn't seem like you're the right fit, didn't have the right talents? We've probably found ourselves in a place like that at some point in our lives. And as we look at the example of Timothy, I hope that it's an encouragement to us of what God has called us to do, what God has called you to do in your life. And sometimes I find, I don't know if this has happened to you, but it's happened to me, when you read the stories in the Bible, you see all of these amazing people. Like, you think about King David, you think about Moses, you think about the Apostle Paul, like these giants of the faith, people who set these amazing examples, who wrote books of the Bible, who led nations, who conquered enemies, all of these amazing stories. And at least in my mind, I tend to see them, you know, through this lens of like, they're these amazing, perfect examples that we could never live up to. But I think sometimes what happens is we see them through kind of the lens of the scripture. We see them kind of at the height of their influence. Like, we see King David when he's successful. We see the Apostle Paul preaching. We see Moses leading the nation of Israel. But we forget all of the things that led up to those things. The Apostle Paul started as someone who persecuted the church. Moses started as an incredibly timid person who didn't even want to lead. And we forget sometimes the journey that led these people to where they ended up. We get to see the end of the story because we read it in the Bible, but we sometimes forget the journey that led to some of those amazing stories. So Timothy gives us kind of an in-between view, and I think it's going to be helpful and encouraging to us this morning. Every single person who's ever existed has had to be a growing person. That's the only way we move forward. So for a little bit of background of Timothy, Timothy is a young leader in the early church, and he's the Apostle Paul's protege. The Apostle Paul has taken him on and is mentoring him, is guiding him and helping to build him up as he is a pastor and a leader in the early church. Now, the interesting thing about Timothy is that he was seen to be quite young for a church leader at the time. We don't know exactly how old he was. It's possible that he was anywhere from sometime in his 20s up to possibly 40. Most likely, around the time that we're looking at his life here, he's in his 30s. Now, for that time, in that context, many important offices in the Jewish faith were not even available to any man until they were at least 40. So anyone under 40 was seen to be very young to be a leader. And so that's the cultural context that Timothy's in. He's pastoring, he's leading a church, and he's in his 30s, which was seen to be very young for the time. It also seems likely from the evidence we have as Paul writes and other scriptures that talk about Timothy, it's likely that he probably was a fairly quiet, timid type of personality. You look at the Apostle Paul, and I think about, like, have you ever thought about meeting certain people from the Bible? It's like, I don't think Paul was like a warm, fuzzy, like super friendly kind of guy. I don't get that vibe from Paul. I think, like, he's intense, right? Like, if you're going to have a conversation with Paul, it's going to be intense. You're going to get straight to the point. He's going to lay it down, and that's just kind of the vibe you get from Paul. Timothy was not that kind of person. He was quieter, probably timid. It seems like he probably struggled with self-confidence issues. Maybe not your stereotypical leader. And so he had some troubles with that. So as we get into this passage, Paul is writing to encourage Timothy as he is fulfilling his calling. And this is what Paul writes to his young protege in 1 Timothy 4, 11 to 14. Paul writes, "Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So Paul advises him not to allow others to look down on him because he is young. And you can insert, you know, your own circumstance, because you are older, because you don't have this skill, because you don't have that skill, whatever situation you find yourself in. Now you might think, well, how is Timothy supposed to control the reactions of other people? He can't, right? We all know that. Like, we can't control other people's perceptions of us. You can't control what other people see in you or what they perceive in you. It's not possible. We know that, right? Can't control other people. Anyone else found that out? Doesn't happen. But Paul advises him, essentially, not to allow other people's perceptions of him to hold him back from doing what God has called him to do. Or in other words, don't take on those perceptions or criticisms that other people may have given to him. Don't take that stuff on. Other people may have thoughts and criticisms, but Timothy is not to take that on and to allow those things to change what God has called him to do. Paul's call to Timothy is he's not to be intimidated by the potential attitudes of others, but he counsels Timothy to set an example for others. Now, the idea here is not to please people in order, like, okay, we got to find out what people want and then just do that so that they'll compliment me or say nice things. That's not what Paul is saying. That's not the point. John Piper says this about this passage. He said, the point is, find out what kind of words and conduct God wants and do that. He gives love and faith and purity as examples of what we should do in our words and conduct. Let all your words and actions come from faith in Christ. So the point is that we're not trying to please people. We're not trying to figure out what's going to make us look good, what's going to make other people, you know, give us compliments or something like that. The point is to find out what God wants you doing and do that. And that's what Paul counsels Timothy. That Timothy is to set an example for the believers. He's to live his life in such a way that he's setting an example in his character, in the things that he is doing and leading. And in that way, then it's not about how old he is or what his particular skills are, but he is leading people through his character. And it's his character and his growth that determines his ability to lead, as he determines what God wants him to do and follows that. He is able to lead. Now, just as Timothy was, we are all imperfect human beings, right? Nobody's perfect. We all have flaws. We all have failings. We all have imperfections. But for some reason, God still calls. God calls because he loves and he cares about people. And God calls people where they are, how they are, in the circumstances that you're in right now. I've heard someone say, God has yet to bless anyone except where they are right now. Because that's the only circumstance you're in, is where you are right now. And God calls. Quote from Vantage Point 3 says this, we are not all that we wish to be, and yet God chooses to see us from a long-term perspective as loved ones made worthy of his sanctifying influences because of the death and resurrection of his Son. And this requires a great deal of patience. God chooses to see us through a long-term perspective as people who are in development, as works in progress, that we have not arrived, but we are growing. We are moving forward. And I think this is the example of Timothy. Despite the things that, you know, were criticized against him, that he was too young, that maybe he was too timid, maybe he wasn't the right personality fit for the roles that he was in, God saw him, Paul saw him as someone who was growing, someone who had potential, someone who was moving forward. Now, perhaps more crippling for some of us than the misgivings of others are our own fears, or our own insecurities, our own fears of our inadequacies, perhaps. And it can be our own self-doubt that causes us not to step out, not to pursue things that God has called us to. And it seems possible that Timothy lacked confidence in his ability to fulfill the ministry that he was called to. And Paul encouraged Timothy, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So Timothy had received a calling through the body of elders, through Paul, as they had prophesied over him and had helped him to see God's call in his life. They had helped him to see this, and it had been confirmed through Paul, confirmed through the elders, confirmed through the Holy Spirit. So this wasn't something that Timothy was making up, that, I want to do this, I'm going to go here and do that. This is a calling that had genuinely been laid on his life and that had been confirmed multiple times and multiple ways. And he was able to do that calling even if he doubted it. And John Piper again says this, that Timothy needed to be reminded that his expectation for what he could be, his expectations for what he could be were too low. That Timothy maybe didn't believe that he was able to do what he was called to do. His expectations for himself might have been too low. He needed to look higher and needed to continue looking to God to help him. While we need the Holy Spirit to fulfill our callings, it is possible sometimes that we take ourselves out of the running because of self-doubt or fear. Timothy could have just said, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not good enough. I just can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give up. And he needed to be reminded that he could do it, and he needed to keep growing and moving forward. And just before this, in 1 Timothy 4:8-10, Paul writes this, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. We must follow as the Spirit leads and empowers, but we also need to keep moving and growing. We need to not take ourselves out of the race. We need to keep going forward. We have to be growing people. And this is what Paul had said earlier. He had said, set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, and impurity. And until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. So Paul kind of offers Timothy a program of development, so to speak. And I want to just look at a couple of things that Paul offers to Timothy in order to help him be a growing person, and things that can in turn can help us. So on the mental side, Timothy needed to move past the potential critiques of his age, character, personality, and his own self-doubt. Now, of course, that's easier said than done. That's a lifelong struggle for many of us, perhaps all of us, but it's something we need to continue growing towards, is dealing with these things, finding help if we need it, and being able to grow and move forward, not doubting ourselves so much that we can't do things, continuing to learn and grow. Spiritually, Timothy needs to set an example for the believers. And we talked about it this morning, like not everyone is called to preach, to lead from the platform, but every single person is called to lead by example. And every single person can have influence on those around them. And you do that by setting an example in your character, the way you live your life. You may be influencing your coworkers and actually have no idea that you're doing it. You may be setting a positive example at school. You may be setting a positive example in your neighborhood. Everything that we do, our character is demonstrating who we are, what we believe, and who we follow. And that's a calling for all of us. Personally, for Timothy, he needed to continue to grow and develop in his own faith. He couldn't be stagnant and just sit there and continue, you know, preaching and teaching. He needed to be a growing person himself as he led. And that's a calling for all of us, too. We need to be growing people who are continuing to learn more, to move forward in character, to learn more about God, to grow in relationship with Jesus. We continue to develop throughout our whole lives. And personally, Timothy needed to continue in this himself. And I think sometimes our mistake as Christians is thinking that we can live life mostly however we want, and then when the moment of opportunity or crisis comes, that we're suddenly prepared to do what needs to be done in that moment. And Paul used the example of athletics, that physical training is of some value. Godliness is more important, but physical training is of some value. And he used the example of athletics. Now, if you think about someone who wants to go to the Olympics, what do? They train. They prepare. Like, they're not sitting on their couch watching videos for 4 years while they prepare for the Olympics. Like, if you went up to someone who is preparing to be in the Olympics and like, hey, what's your training program? They're like, oh, I sit on the couch. Like, you would know they're not going to the Olympics, right? They're in intense training and preparation for years leading up to the Olympics. They have to eat right. They have to exercise. They have to train in their sport. It takes dedication. It takes habits. It takes all of these things in order to get to where they need to be. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25, he says to run the race as if to win the prize. To win the prize, you have to train. You have to be prepared. And maybe it seems obvious in the case of athletics that you have to train and be prepared if you want to achieve a goal, but sometimes we don't apply that to the Christian life when the context is similar, that we have to continue training in order to be growing people and to be moving forward. We can't necessarily, like, going to church is a good thing, but sitting in a chair at church for 20 years is not necessarily going to help you move forward. It requires more than just sitting in church in order to be a growing person. And Henry Nouwen said this. It was actually given in the context of a workshop that he was giving. And he'd given this workshop, and they had a Q&A time after. And this parent asked him a question about parenting a teenage child. And they're wondering, like, you know, how do I parent my child well? What do I need to do? And he kind of didn't really answer the sort of technical parenting question, but he said, the greatest gift, I think it was a son, the greatest gift you can give to your son is the gift of being a growing person yourself. That was his parenting advice to this person who was looking at this. And I think that applies to all of us, not just in parenting, but in life. The greatest gift you can give to others is being a growing person yourself, because that shows you are under development. Like, if I'm sitting there and telling my kids, well, you need to do this, or you need to, you know, say sorry to your friends, or you need to eat healthy or eat your vegetables, but I'm not doing any of those things, what does that say as an example? It says, you know, what you're saying and what you're doing don't line up. But the greatest gift you can give to others is being a growing person yourself. Paul's message to Timothy could be summarized this way. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged by the opinions of others. Allow your character to speak. Live for Jesus and set the best example possible. Don't allow self-doubt to cripple you, and that there are practical aspects to growth. We must run the race as if to win the prize. But finally, and most importantly, we must find our worth in God. And I get this email from Renovare, and there's this quote in it that I just love. And it says this: most of us derive our self-worth from others or ourselves, from how well we measure up to their standard or to our own. But the gospel of Jesus offers us something altogether different. Your worth and identity come from God. You are who God says you are. And because of the work of Jesus, because we are adopted into God's family and share in Jesus' inheritance, you are incredibly who God says Jesus is, the beloved in whom he is well pleased. And I think it's so amazing to see ourselves in that light. Pastor Matt has preached the last couple of weeks about the prodigal son and the older son and how those things relate to our identity as Christians. We're not worthy because people say we are or aren't. We're not worthy because we say to ourselves that we are or are not. We are worthy because God says we are. And you have value because God created you. You have value and worth in him. That comes first. And then we're able to work out all the rest in finding your calling, in serving Jesus, in being a growing person. And then you're able to do it out of a centered view on Jesus. You don't need to try and find your worth or doubt your worth as you move forward in your calling, because your worth is secure in Jesus and you're able to follow him. Of course, it's easier said than done, but I hope that this example of Timothy this morning has given us some encouragement as we grow and move forward as people. And I just want to leave you with a couple of questions that you can think about as we go. So ask, what would it mean to know your worth is in who God says you are? Not in what other people have said about you, not in what you have said to yourself, either positive or negative, but what does it mean for you to know that your worth is in who God says you are, and that he says you are beloved? And for you today, what does being a growing person look like? How can you be a growing person? And if being a growing person is the greatest example you can give to others, what does your example mean to others? How is your own growth a gift to those around you? And I'll say, as a blessing this morning, as we read that quote earlier, may you have patience on the road as you grow towards Christ. Lord, we look to you this morning. We know that we are imperfect people, but Lord, you see us as worthy because you created us. Lord, may we find our worth in you. May we find our security in you. And Lord, may we continue growing in you and closer to you. And Lord, through our lives as we grow, may we set an example of being growing people that draws others to you, that draws the people around us closer to your heart, Lord. May we not find our worth in the things that people have said about us, either positively or negatively. May we not find our worth in the things that we've said to ourselves, either positively or negatively, but that we find our worth in you. Lord, as each of us goes, and as each of us is a growing person, may we find encouragement that with you, we can continue moving forward, we can continue growing. We thank you for who you are. I pray this in your name.